Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We turn to the question of artificial intelligence and the People's Republic of China. What does it mean that there is not a moon race, there's an AI race? There are other details to this. However, the puzzle is a story that is going to continue for many years in this century. We're setting up the race. It's not going to be one on a particular day. As if I understand correctly, the scale of this is humbling. We welcome Brendan Weikert, our colleague, to help us on AI. Brendan is the author of the new book, Biohacked, China's Race to Control Life, and AI is part of it. Brendan, a very good evening to you. The U.S. Congress has turned its attention to artificial intelligence. At the same time, the Chinese Communist Party looking for another magic weapon to be supreme on the planet. Where is the race right now between the U.S. and China on artificial intelligence? Is there any way to judge it? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John, and hello, Gordon. Thanks for having me again. Right now, I would say that the race is entering a new phase. It's been going on for about a decade in very rudimentary levels, but the race for AI is now entering a real significant phase in which we are now developing the technology and rapidly moving it forward. The United States certainly has some critical advantages, but I would argue that overall in the high-tech race, and Gordon, of course, has written a whole book about this, U.S.-China tech war, but I would argue that in AI and quantum computing and a handful of other fourth-generation industrial revolution technologies, China is, if it's not ahead of us, it's certainly neck and neck with us. And the concern that I have is that China is able, with their system of public-private fusion, they are able to basically build out really advanced research and development infrastructure and fund it that then attracts the talent from the West and abroad and the investment away from the West and toward the AI or quantum computing, whatever they're doing, endeavors in China, which will over the long run, as you say, it's a long-term race, over the long run allow for China to leapfrog us. Also, China has a much, I think, greater ability to leap without looking on new technologies than we do. We tend to want to regulate and contain everything, understandably, in the case of AI. But that's a double-edged sword, John. It could be that we want to regulate AI to prevent the dangers from getting outweighing the benefits. But if we regulate it too much and we don't understand the technology, that might make China's unregulated program more competitive and actually attract U.S. AI firms to go do business over there rather than here.
Gordon, you have a question for Brendan.
Brendan, let's look at an analogous area, one where you're an expert in. Everyone around the world believes that gene editing humans is an activity that should not be permitted. Yet we know that China, in fact, gene edited humans and actually twins were born in 2018. Yeah. And it appears that China, as you pointed out, was gene editing humans to increase their intelligence. Yeah. It seems that once you have one major state not having ethical, not honoring or not adhering to ethical rules and guidelines, then nobody really can, because then what you do is you cede leadership to that criminal state. Isn't that going to happen in AI?
Absolutely. And in fact, for the book, I talked to a leading bioethicist, and I quoted him in the book, and he's out at Stanford. And he said, in terms of the gene editing and using, you know, no ethical limitations to that sort of research, he said that the trump card for all medical people is cures. If I violate some norm and I can create a major cure that could better human life for everybody, I'm going to oh, be okay with it. Well, I think that same logic applies to all of the tech industry, not just biotech. And I think when it comes to AI, you already hear in these congressional hearings the kind of benefits being talked about, all the benefits. And there are a lot of benefits AI can give, not just a military, but a civil society as well. But there's a lot of downsides. And as you say, if we don't create those ethical kind of standards early on, and we don't get the rest of the world to agree to it, well, China's just going to cut corners because they want to always be there first. And that's going to attract other talent to them. And you're right, we're going to cede leadership. So it's like I said, it's a double-edged sword because China's always going to be there. They're always going to be competitive with us. And they're going to be willing to cut corners that we're not willing to. And that's going to make them more enticing of an investment for Western funds and talent than what's going on in the West. So this is a huge problem for us because AI really is going to revolutionize and change human life, I would say, as much as electricity did in the previous century.
So what is to be done, Brandon? I know Congress is paying attention, but that is a very slow-moving and many-footed beast. What is your recommendation?
Well, I actually, if you can believe it, agree with Senator Dick Durbin when he suggested creating an agency that would sort of lightly regulate early AI and then pair it with an international agreement to regulate AI. Maybe China won't follow us, but if we can put enough international pressure on China, say, hey, look, 99% of the world's countries are with us and coordinating with us, we could maybe force China to hew by the rules because they want to be perceived as a great power. And part of that is not being so overtly against the will of the world. They want to try to woo people over to their side. And so maybe that's something that we could do. But right now, it's up in the air. This is so new. We're still figuring it out as we go along. We just can't let China get ahead of us. We cannot. It will be the end of America's dominance if we do.
What
in this
you're
era.
Recommending is Artemis Accords for AI. Is
that absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
So everybody signs on and agrees to follow guidelines, and China would be reluctant to be outside those guidelines.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Gordon, we have about a minute for another question.
So, Brandon, the Biden administration is thinking of prohibiting investment into Chinese tech companies. Yeah. Will that help?
I think that's a big step. I just think it should have happened at the beginning of the Biden administration. Better late than never. My concern, though, with Biden is I do think if he's reelected, he's going to try to pivot and play nice with China. So I just worry that this is all just sort of a feint to brandish his China hawk credentials going into 2024. And then if he gets reelected, he'll go soft on them to get a better deal on trade and the environment. But yeah, I think it's a great step in the right direction. But we also have to pair that with investing big time in U.S. innovation hubs. We can't just deny our company's ability to research and develop overseas. We've got to entice them to do it here. So that's a step in the right direction, but it's not enough.
A final concern, Brandon. China steals. Doesn't that limit their ability to innovate? Stealing?
Well, they've proven that they steal the way the Americans stole from the 19th century British Empire, that they do that to keep costs down on innovation. Why reinvent the wheel if you can just copy it? Okay. And then what they tend to do is they get investment from that, and then they tend to innovate from there. And so I don't know how bad it is that they're imitating, because ultimately they've proven that once they imitate enough, they then start innovating from there, and that's how they leapfrog us.
Brandon Weikert, the new book is Biohacking. Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.